I think some people have the mindset that they need to throw all of their disposable income towards their debt because debt equals bad. But some people have decent interest rates on their debt. And so sometimes there's a trade-off, you know, maybe you should, instead of saving all of your money towards debt, maybe you should save more in your 401k.
Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by me, Natalie Torres-Haddad, an international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker, and investor, along with Vera Egli, an investor, sales and marketing pro, and multi-language podcaster. We will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy in multiple languages. Hello, hello. Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I'm Natalie Torres-Haddad, and I'm here with the lovely Vera Egli. Hello, Missy.
Hi. I'm super excited for this one.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You and I are just like, off the seats. And those that, if you're watching this in the video, you can see why we're excited. Today is actually a very special guest because of what we've been seeing almost every single day, if not on the news, social media, the talk about dealing with our student debt, whether you've been out of college for 10, 20 years, 5 years, or recent grad. These are all the questions that many of us are already thinking. So we are really lucky to have her today. And I'm going to go from her wonderful bio here. One of the things about having SIMS here is that SIMS Trent, she holds a CFP and a CSLP designations from the University of Pennsylvania. She lives in Hampton Roads, Virginia with her husband, and they enjoy hiking, food, adventures, spending time, loved ones. Had to put that in because Vera and I are all about that.
Yes.
Sims is also passionate about educating and empowering borrowers to make the right decisions to tackle their debt. Prior to joining, which is Student Loan Planner, that's partly how we got connected. I met Travis at EconomyCon. We were both speakers together, and he's the founder of this great organization, helping so many people in need. Sim worked as a financial planner for physicians and their families and saw that the need for planners to get expertise on student loans is a need. So I'm super happy to have you here, Sim. Thank you for joining us. And we're just going to go right back into the questions. I know people are like, oh my gosh, the first question I have to ask you is, what is the number one thing that you want people to either be doing right now about the student loan forgiveness? Should they be applying? Do they qualify? What's the requirements? Maybe a little link on that.
So I would say, first of all, make an account with studentaid.gov so you can log in and then download a text file so you can see, do you have? Because the first step is knowing what is your student loan situation. Do you have federal loans? Do you have private loans? A lot of the forgiveness opportunities that we have right now are, and I shouldn't say a lot of, all of them are just for federal loans. There's nothing out there currently for private loans. And actually certain types of, I kind of like to call them like orphan federal loans, because they're like in this weird in-between phase. These commercially held FFELP loans often get excluded from a lot of these programs. And so you might want to consider consolidating if that's right for you. But the first step is know what you have.
Yeah, I would say so, right? I mean, the awareness of it. I think, and I'm sure you can attest to this because you deal with it often. I find that there's a lot of depression and fear around becoming aware of what you have. Can you explain how potentially you guys also walk people through overcoming that fear so that they can become aware? Because I find that it might be even be an obstacle for them to apply it, because they don't want to make it reality.
That's a great question. And actually it's so timely too. I had someone I met with last week who didn't want to know what her balance was. She was like, can you give me a trigger warning before you share your screen with me and we look at the information? Part of our process is we have people send us those text files from studentaid.gov because it has a comprehensive history of what your loans are, the different statuses the loans were in over time. I can see your repayment plan. And so when we meet with someone, we've already looked at all of that. And I'll start off by just kind of trying to make people comfortable. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with the student loans? What's going on with your career? Where are you in life right now? And what's going on with the student loans in relation to that? Are the student loans holding you back? So we talk a little bit, try to get comfortable, but then I will share my screen. And I always like to confirm with people, like, this is what you have. This is what, you know, where your loans are. This is how many payments I'm seeing. So I kind of just like to confirm everything first so people are educated. And then I kind of give them, you know, here are some options we might take as we dig into the call a little bit.
Yeah, I love that. It resonates with us. And especially for me, it was that I didn't want to open up. I didn't want to look at what my my, you know, the interest applied on it when I had the student loan, you know, dealing with so many people with student loans, that's one of the most difficult things is the denial of, you know, it's just the fear of having to deal with all this. So it's great that you're walking them through the process and letting know this is very common. Do you feel like it's a really quick process applying online? Because you mentioned, yeah, studentaid.gov, you go to that. And is it, I mean, I think some people tend to procrastinate. So is that something you can shed a little light on as well?
Yeah, so it depends on what path to forgiveness you're taking, because one path right now that everyone's talking about is public service loan forgiveness, right? The deal is you work in some kind of public service job for 10 years. It doesn't have to be the same job, just 10 years. And then in return, they're supposed to forgive your loans, except that there's a lot of fine print. You know, you have to have the right loan type. You have to be on the right repayment plan, you know, so on and so on. And what a lot of people were finding was, you know, they got to the end of the 10 years and their loans weren't being forgiven. And they found out, oh, this mistake, right? Either because they didn't read the fine print or they were just flat out told wrong information by their servicer. And so we did have this opportunity called the PSLF waiver. And I want to say that expired on the 31st, except kind of in a way it didn't, because now we have this other waiver, this ID waiver that is acting sort of as an extension on the PSLF waiver. So previously with PSLF, periods of forbearance and deferment wouldn't count, right? They wanted you to be in some kind of repayment status while you were working. Well, a lot of servicers were inappropriately putting people in forbearance, right? You know the situation. You can't make your payment. Something happens. You call your servicer and you're like, hey, I can't make my payment. What are my options? Well, they weren't told that one of their options was to go on income-driven repayment. And the deal with income-driven repayment is that depending on which plan you're on, you can get your loans forgiven after 20 or 25 years. But when you're in forbearance, that time doesn't count towards that timeline. And so you have people who were in forbearance for years when they could have had a $0 payment or other low payment that was counting towards these timelines to forgiveness. So now we have this other waiver, right? The IDR waiver. And what they're also letting people do is not only will they count certain periods of forbearance towards those timelines, but you can also count them towards PSLF. So in a way, it's kind of an extension of the waiver. So if you are someone who has a commercially held FFELP loan and you didn't consolidate by October 31st, well, now you have a new opportunity because of this waiver. So now you have until, I think they said May, right? And then they're going to start updating people's accounts sometime next summer.
That's fantastic news. I hope that you listening out there rewind that part, because it is another opportunity. So I'm really glad that you shared that. And speaking of consolidating, what is some of the conversation that you have around that? Because a lot of folks fear consolidation also, because they just kind of don't know where to start the process. And if you can shed some light on like, what's the first step besides obviously becoming aware and speaking with you guys, what does it entail and what can they expect?
That's a great question. And I always like to clarify for people, because I get this question a lot. Consolidation is not refinancing. Refinancing is something that happens in a private with a private servicer, and you're basically pulling the loans out of the federal system. It's irreversible and you have no options after that, right? All you can do is keep refinancing to a better rate once you've done that. Consolidation is something you do in the federal system. And essentially what you're doing is taking your loans and smushing them together into a new loan. Now, before the PSLF waiver, consolidation was kind of scary because it would start your payment count over. With the waiver, they said it's not going to start over. Now the waiver is expired, so people have the same question again. If I consolidate, what's going to happen? Well, with the income-driven repayment waiver, you have to have direct loans or federally managed FFELP loans. So the commercially held FFELP loans are still excluded. So if you want to take advantage of that, you still have to consolidate. And then actually, I'm going on a little bit of a tangent, but there's a new fact sheet that came out recently with some updates that the government wants to make to PSLF and just student loans in general. And they do want to get rid of this whole consolidation starts your payment count at zero. And so they'll still let people keep some of their payments. But back to the process of consolidation itself, what you do is you log on to studentaid.gov. This is the easiest way. You can do it by paper too, but why would you want to if you don't have to? Log on to studentaid.gov. There's a section in there, and I can't remember what the header is, but it's one of the headers. And when you look down, it'll say consolidate your loans. So you'll log in and then you'll see a list of all of your federal loans. And then you can select which ones you want to consolidate, which ones you want to leave out. Most people just do all of them together. And I'll get into the pros and cons of consolidation because there's some cons to it. But you'll select that. You will select if you want any kind of processing delay in the paperwork. you get to choose a servicer. So if you're consolidating for PSLF, you have to choose Mohela. Mohela is the servicer for the PSLF program. And that's another thing you can look at, by the way, when you're looking at your text file, where are your loans held? Because if you're not at Mohela and you think you're on track for PSLF, you don't have any credit. You're not at the right place. So you'll select Mohela. There's a little like repayment estimator. There's like a calculator that the government put out. And I always like to tell people my opinion is that for most people, it's garbage. No offense. I agree. I'm biased towards our calculators at Student Loan Planner. I think that they're a lot more accurate because we look at a lot more information, like your AGI. We do like income projections. We talk about, hey, you're single. Are you thinking about getting married? What is your significant other earn? I ask questions like that. What state do you live in? But anyway, so the consolidation will ask you that. There's going to be like a repayment estimator. Scroll all the way to the bottom and select the repayment plan that you would like. So if you're going for PSLF, you have to be on an income-driven repayment plan, which is an umbrella term. And I think we throw that phrase out a lot. But income-driven repayment is an umbrella term that encompasses one of four different repayment plans you could be on. And what they do is they look at your adjusted gross income, which is your gross income minus the pre-tax stuff. And they look at your family size and they give you basically the equivalent of a deductible for each person in your family. There's a formula that they use. They subtract that from your AGI and the number that's left is called your discretionary income. So depending on what plan you pick, you will be paying anywhere from 10 to 20% of your discretionary income on your loans. And then the rest of the application, you'll probably link your tax returns so they can see your AGI and fine print. And from there, it's pretty straightforward.
I gotta say, it sounds, maybe it's somebody listening might and who's never done it might think, oh my God, there's so many steps. But actually, it's really not, because I've seen the process and it's quite straightforward and there's a lot of information. And obviously, they can contact you guys to help out. Are there any specific websites or any tools that you recommend, part of the organization that you're with, or websites that they can look at for additional information?
Yeah. One question we get a lot is what repayment plan should I be on? We do make our calculators free to the public. I think you just have to sign up to get our newsletters, but then we'll email you the calculator. Our calculators are built in with the formulas that, you know, the Department of Education is using to calculate these payments. And so, you know, of course, again, I'm biased, but I think that's a great place to start if you're not sure what repayment plan to pick.
I love your newsletter. The newsletter that comes out, you guys give so much great information. So I highly recommend sell your email to Student Planner because you actually get great information.
We try to make a lot of stuff, you know, free to the public because, I mean, all of this information is free to the public. It's just really confusing to synthesize and figure out what applies to me and what doesn't. And, you know, if someone wants a little more like hands-on assistance, you know, then they can work with us directly as well.
I think that's one of the best things about looking at like the social media posts that you put. You make it really precise, quick, and just kind of like, what's the top headline that you need to really focus on? And I know for so many people, it's, you know, just the simplest questions of like, do I need to apply? Is it automatically, you know, or is my info already there? It's like, so those little things that I've seen, those updates, especially with deadlines, especially with new waivers, updates that are, it feels like they're changing every single day. And we know that there's a lot of, conflicts between, you know, you hear people say, oh, well, I didn't get my student loan debt paid. You know, why should other people? And so it's like, obviously there's a lot of frustration with it, but at least you guys are providing as much information as people need. Is there something that you see there's a common mistake? Obviously you talked about consolidation, which is really key in the forbearance. But is there a mistake that you commonly see with people trying to figure out their finances, whether it's, you know, trying to save some money towards a car instead of paying their student loan? Is there something that you guys recommend having them people be able to have a balanced life, but at the same time still dealing with their student debt?
Yeah, I think some people have the mindset that they need to throw all of their disposable income towards their debt because debt equals bad. But some people have decent interest rates on their debt. And so sometimes there's a trade-off, you know, maybe you should, instead of saving all of your money towards debt, maybe you should save more in your 401k, which actually, if you're on an income-driven repayment plan, will also lower your payment. So remember, when they're calculating your payment, they're looking at AGI. The easiest way that you can lower your AGI is by contributing to retirement at work, your 401k, 403b, 457b. If you have a flex spending account, if you have a health savings account, dependent care FSA, and usually your health insurance premiums. These are all pre-tax deductions that all lower your AGI that can help you save for retirement and lower your payment towards your student loans. And I also tell people, first of all, I kind of hate the word budget. I feel like it's a little bit of a dirty word because it sort of connotes like this rigidity to like, I can't do X, Y, Z. I'm already like over my amount for the month. But if you do have a budget or some kind of cash flow management system, I always tell people build in a little bit of self-care, because if you don't do any self-care, you're going to burn out and you're not going to kind of stick with any of your financial goals. You're just going to, that's how people sometimes rack up credit card debt. So you definitely need to find a balance.
That's fantastic that you added that. I don't think that I've heard anybody actually really focus on that. And if I'm no offense to anybody who talks about budgets and stuff out there on the social media world, or they're going to come down on me like, hey, I say it, but that you actually pointed it out to have something in your cash management flow for self-care, because especially, I mean, so many of the things you said were like triggered old emotions in me, because been there, done that. And it was just so scary, especially, you know, my family was born in Mexico, so I was the one having to really navigate through the waters of financial aid myself. And it was really terrifying to have to understand and be signing documents where at 18 years old, I didn't realize I should read the fine print. So I completely understand the need for self-care, because if you don't take care of like that palpitation going on and the heaviness in the mind, it just makes the whole experience really terrible. So I'm so happy that you put out all that information.
I'm a big proponent of mental health and mental health awareness. And I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know that there are some statistics out there about, you know, the relationship between student loans and mental health. I'm pretty sure that Student Loan Planner has statistics on that.
I'm sure.
I don't know them, but you don't want to burn out. And especially with the last, you know, couple of years with the pandemic and people were at home and socially isolating, like I just think that there could be like a mental health crisis impending. And so, you know, that's another thing they want people to like prioritize with their budgets too. Like if you need to go to therapy, if you need to like go out with a friend, like do those things for yourself too.
Yeah. And that's so needed. And thank you for mentioning that, because that's partly why I started doing this. The same thing. It was just dealing with my frustration of the student debt and feel like you're drowning and, you know, what resources were available. So I'm so grateful that you guys are doing this and doing it so well and making it easy. For me, I always get overwhelmed with like jargon, especially when you look at lawyers. And I know a lot of you work with lawyers within your organizations to making sure that we understand it. And like I said, you know, the simple cliff notes that we that we really need, right? So before we go, because I know this is short, I think we need to have you again, because just so many things that are popping up for people with this pandemic, with this coming recession that every, or here, wherever, depending where you are, you know, kind of things that they should be doing to prepare. But before you go, can you let us know how people can connect with you? Maybe one of the things that they should be doing now before the end of the year, since obviously you talked about some of those deadlines. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So if they want to connect, just type into Google Student Loan Planner. You can connect with any one of us. We're like on all the social media. Sign up for our newsletter. You know, get our calculators, play with that. If you're confused, then maybe meet with us and we can, you know, help you out, figure out tax filing status and all that. End of the year is coming, so I would start thinking about next year already. So January, can you start increasing your retirement contributions? Because if you're on an IDR plan, that's going to go a long way. If you're going for public service loan forgiveness, make sure you're doing your employment certification form every year. Don't wait till you get to the end of the 10 years. Every year, let's get your payment count update as we go. And if there's a problem, you can catch it early. And finally, if you have to consolidate your loans, go ahead and do that before May.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here. Really, this has been super informative, and I hope that it brings a little bit of like peace to a lot of people's trembling, you know, like heart, because it's a tough conversation, especially in our communities with the friends that have like, they're drowning in debt, but there's always like light at the end of the tunnel. So we really appreciate your time.
I have one more thing I have to add before the end of the year. We didn't talk about the Biden cancellation, but right now it's in the courts and we don't know what's going to happen with it. Go ahead and apply for it. You may be able to get $10,000 to $20,000 in cancellation. If you live in one of the four states that may be taxing it, potentially it's still worth it for you if you're not going for PSLF. right? It might still be worth paying that state tax to get 10 or 20,000 knocked off your balance. So go ahead and apply. Just type into Google like Biden cancellation application. It'll take you 2 minutes to fill it out.
Thank you for bringing that back up. I know, I totally forgot. Like that's a hot one.
Thank you so much, Sim. And we're looking forward to having you back. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. And please make sure to subscribe and leave your comments and reviews. To learn more about the podcast, check out the website and Instagram, Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, and watch interviews on YouTube and IGTV. To become a sponsor or hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, please visit financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.